Public Radio KMXT is supported by a grant from North Pacific Fuel, serving and continuing the tradition of excellent service to the community at three locations: Marine Dock at 715 Shelikoff Street, Gas & Go at the Y, and Gas & Go at Mill Bay.
Pleasant good afternoon to you. It's a half a minute before noon. This is Public Radio KMXT Kodiak, 100.1 FM, live on the web at kmxt.org. Translators in the villages at K269AW Larson Bay, K269AX Carlick, K269AY Akiak, K269AZ Old Harbor, and K220AU in Port Lyons. Rain coming down fairly steadily here on Signal Hill, 46 degrees with light rain, fog, and mist. It's like that out at the airport with a mile and a half of visibility. East wind of 17 miles an hour blowing. We're supposed to have rain today. High near 50. East winds 15 miles an hour. 100% chance of rain. Chance of rain drops down to 60% tonight. Rain likely before 7, then just scattered showers after that. Cloudy skies, low around 44. Southeast winds 5, becoming calm in the evening. Going to get any better tomorrow? Scattered showers between 10 and 4. Cloudy skies, a high near 52. West wind only 5 to 10 miles an hour and drops down to a 30% chance of precipitation. For a marine forecast for local waters, Chiniac Bay this afternoon, east winds of 15 knots, 4-foot seas. Rain, south 10, 3-foot seas tonight. West 10, 2-foot seas tomorrow. Marmot Bay this afternoon, east 20, 7-foot seas. Rain, east 10, becoming variable, less than 10 with 3-foot seas tonight. And west 15, seas of 2 feet on Tuesday.
I'm Lakshmi Singh. An experimental coronavirus vaccine in the United States is delivering early results scientists had been hoping for. The Massachusetts-based company Moderna says 8 healthy volunteers injected with the vaccine developed antibodies that were able to neutralize the virus. And preliminary data also indicate the vaccine might be able to shield people from developing COVID-19. The biotech company plans to launch another study this summer to see if the vaccine can actually prevent the disease. Worldwide, roughly a dozen vaccine candidates are reported to be in the first stages of testing or close to it. And underscoring the urgency, Johns Hopkins University reports coronavirus has so far afflicted more than 4.7 million people around the world and claimed nearly 317,000 lives. The global health and political divide over the pandemic looms over the annual gathering of the World Health Organization's governing body. NPR's Jason Beaubien reports the U.S. is demanding an independent review of the WHO's response.
The World Health Assembly each year brings together representatives from 194 member countries. As the world faces the worst pandemic in more than a century, many taking part in this meeting are calling for nations to rally behind the WHO in fighting the coronavirus. But that wasn't the message from U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar.
We must be frank about one of the primary reasons this outbreak spun out of control. There was a failure by this organization to obtain the information that the world needed, and that failure cost many lives.
Azar said the WHO failed in its core mission to share information about the outbreak, an allegation that the WHO has denied. Jason Beaubien, NPR News.
The chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee suggesting one possible motive for the firing of the State Department's Inspector General. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports that it may have to do with a report on Saudi arms sales.
Democrat Elliot Engel tells the Washington Post that the inspector general had just completed an investigation into the administration's declaration of an emergency to greenlight Saudi arms sales. A source on Capitol Hill confirms that the State Department won't comment. President Trump sent a letter to Congress Friday night saying he lost confidence in the inspector general, Steve Linnick. A White House official later said that Secretary Pompeo had recommended this. Democrats are investigating whether the firing was in retaliation for investigations, including another into whether Pompeo and his wife were having a government employee run personal errands for them. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
The Justice Department's confirming an Al-Qaeda connection to last December's shooting at a naval air station in Pensacola, Florida, where a Saudi military trainee killed 3 sailors before he was killed. FBI Director Christopher Wray says new evidence points to years of planning.
He was meticulous in his planning. He made pocket cam videos as he cased his classroom building.
The FBI got the evidence from the gunman's cell phones. You're listening to NPR News.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor llama al 907-481-2400.
KMXT Local News is underwritten in part by
GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.
And by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, proud to offer a variety of sofas and love seats made in Oregon by Stanton, as well as massage and zero-gravity chairs by Human Touch. Find the fabric and style that fits your lifestyle in the store or by special order. Also featuring inviting rugs, lamps, and accessories for your home at Artinger's, 486-5554.
A seafood worker from out of state has tested positive for COVID-19 while quarantining in Dillingham. It's the city's first case of the virus, but it's the ninth out-of-state resident who has tested positive for the virus in Alaska and the fourth seafood worker. KDLG's Izzy Roth reports.
In a Saturday news release, the state reported that the person is a seasonal worker for Trident Seafoods. The company reported that it arranged for the worker to leave the community on Saturday. The person isn't currently showing symptoms and doesn't need to be hospitalized for treatment. Trident doesn't have processing facilities in Dillingham. It operates a barge for tender and vessel support. Five seasonal workers arrived via a Lake Clark air flight on May 1st. They were tested at the end of their quarantine. Shannon Carroll is the Associate Director of Public Policy for Trident Seafoods.
So we're obviously really disappointed in the news. This wasn't obviously intended by any means, but we never expected that we'd be able to prevent all of the asymptomatic employees from entering. So I think this really just highlights the importance of having a really strong quarantine protocol and then also testing.
Trident operates in 10 communities around the state. After Saturday's positive test, the company is changing the way it handles workers coming to Dillingham.
Now, given that there's been some revised local ordinances in Dillingham and state health mandates, all future employees that will be coming into Dillingham will be quarantined and tested in Anchorage and then chartered, have secure transport to Dillingham.
The other workers quarantining at the location tested negative, but they'll be quarantined for another 14 days because they were in close contact with the infected person. During that time, they will be observed by public health nurses. To get out of quarantine, they will need to satisfy the City of Dillingham's ordinances and, according to Trident, receive a minimum of 2 negative tests, including one at the end of the quarantine period. Public health nurses have completed a contact investigation and report that no one at that quarantine site had any contacts with the outside community. In a meeting on Saturday, Dillingham Mayor Alice Ruby said that the response in this case demonstrates that Trident's health protocols, as well as the local ordinances and state mandates, are effective.
We've been working with partners, the state, tribal partners, federal, and our healthcare partners to ensure that, you know, the plans we have in place work well and that they protect everyone. So the discovery of this positive case while they were still in quarantine is just an indication of how our plan is working.
The new case spotlights the tension between some residents of the Bristol Bay region and a fishing industry that must massively scale up each year. During the summer, processors bring in thousands of employees. Thousands of independent fishermen come to the region as well. During the off-season, there are about 6,700 people scattered around several small communities. During the fishing season, the population balloons up to nearly 22,000 people. The City of Dillingham, as well as several tribes and the Regional Health Corporation, have asked the state to consider closing the fishery. They've pointed to the region's extremely limited medical resources and infrastructure. Dillingham has the only hospital. It's licensed for 16 beds, and it has 2 ventilators for emergency use on coronavirus patients. But Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration has remained committed to keeping the fishery open. It released a series of guidelines in April for commercial fishermen to operate safely. The City of Dillingham passed its own ordinances at recent meetings. It extended its travel permit and quarantine requirements for incoming visitors. And starting May 22nd, anyone quarantining in the town will be required to get a test before they can leave quarantine. There are 2 places to get tested for COVID-19 in Dillingham. Free testing is available at a Capstone Clinic Center at the Dillingham Harbor. The Harbor's testing center is for people who aren't experiencing symptoms but might have been exposed. People who are experiencing symptoms should call the hospital to set up an appointment. Once at the hospital, a nurse will come to the car and administer an Abbott ID Now swab test. Dillingham does not currently have testing set up at its airport. City Manager Todd Larson said that was partly because it would create crowding at the terminal.
It takes quite a bit to put the thing together. We have to kind of get a semi-windproof area. It has to be built with a lab, fridge, freezer, that kind of stuff.
During the meeting on Saturday, the state's chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, said the state is working with the city and other local entities to find ways to lower the risk to the community.
One is to track the case and to make sure that we are looking at all the contacts, any possible exposure, and to be able to try to break any chain of spread.
The case was announced 2 days after a delegation of state and federal officials visited 4 communities in Bristol Bay, including Dillingham. The group toured health facilities and seafood processing plants and heard from community leaders about concerns and support ahead of the fishing season. Mayor Ruby says the city's police force is currently making trips to the airport to check on compliance with state and local laws. She said the city has asked the state for more help and that they'll follow up on that request to see if they can get more people to assist with security in the region. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
Dozens of lawmakers trickled into Juneau over the weekend. The state legislature is set to convene in Juneau today. Lawmakers are working through the governor's plan for spending federal CARES Act funds. The legislative committee approved that plan last week, but a Juneau man sued, saying the whole legislature needs to meet to approve the coronavirus aid. That lawsuit threatened to delay distribution of more than $1 billion of federal funds into communities, businesses, and nonprofits. Now lawmakers have given themselves until Wednesday to pass a bill that would allow the money to flow out into the state. Juneau Senator Jesse Keel said 3 days is just about the bare minimum amount of time needed to pass a bill.
To do a bill in 3 days, you need a three-quarter vote in each body to hustle it through. It is the absolute fastest constitutionally that it could be done.
If lawmakers don't get it done by Wednesday, things could get complicated. They're skirting close to the constitutional limit on session length. They might have to call themselves into a special session. Governor Mike Dunleavy could also do it. Municipal leaders and lawmakers have said they are hoping to get the CARES Act funding out as quickly as possible. Assemblymember Rob Edwardson said he wasn't surprised the lawmakers had to return to Juneau over the CARES Act funding, and he's not too concerned about the influx of people, especially since most of the legislatures won't be bringing all their staff with them.
So I think it's going to be a smaller number coming into town than, say, you know, snowbirds returning or people coming into town for commercial fisheries or fisheries processing.
Meanwhile, Legislative Affairs staff worked over the weekend to put a series of safety protocols in place so that the 60 lawmakers and some staff members can work in the same building during the COVID-19 pandemic. They finished those protocols late last night. The building remains closed to the public. Capital City Fire and Rescue personnel will run screening stations at all entrances. They'll ask lawmakers, staff, and journalists a series of questions and take their temperatures. Once people get through that process, they'll then get a sticker indicating that they have been screened. This is required for staff and media. Lawmakers can refuse, but they won't be given a sticker. Everyone is required to wear masks or face coverings and practice social distancing. Only one person will be allowed in the elevators at a time. There's been some blowback about the screening protocols in an email exchange first published by the Alaska Landmine. Nikiski Republican Representative Ben Carpenter sent an email to House lawmakers comparing the screening to Nazi Germany's labeling of Jews. Other members of the House pushed back against that idea. That exchange made national headlines over the weekend. Keel said that back and forth is an indicator that legislatures probably aren't going to agree on everything.
So, you know, probably won't be universal love and snuggles, but people will come and do the job.
Juneau Assembly members say they are hoping to get the CARES Act funding as quickly as possible. There's a $34 million hole in the Juneau city budget, and city leaders are grappling with how to fill it. They're hoping to at least partially backfill it with federal CARES Act funding, but that requires that the lawmakers pass a bill quickly and that the city figure out how to use the money legally. Summer has nearly arrived for Kodiak. Longer days, more sunshine are already upon us. While summer might normally be a time to get out and enjoy the weather with friends and family, the conditions are somewhat different this year with a pandemic going on. Many organizations in Kodiak are adjusting their plans to keep people safe and engaged in summer activities. Katie Oliver is executive director of the Kodiak Arts Council. Council puts on an annual program called Some Arts for Kids, which got its start in the 80s. She said the council has been working to figure out how to preserve the best qualities of the program while working with social distancing and other health and safety concerns.
One of the examples that's in the guidelines is art supplies. And if you're running an arts camp for kids, each child has to have their own set of supplies, or there needs to be sanitation every time a user of a different household uses supplies.
Oliver said in addition to providing each child with their own supply kit, the program will have to continue as at-home classes with a team of 15 to 20 local artists teaching virtually. She said designing a virtual arts camp was a new challenge.
Learning the techniques to keep kids engaged, there really is an important design element to this in terms of how do we design instruction that is meaningful, is sort of locally meaningful as well, because there are a lot of virtual arts instructions that people can do online. So there's a sense of connectivity and community that we need to bring to the program as well.
This time of year, the Kodiak Wildlife Refuge is usually training seasonal rangers to lead outreach activities and camps for children to explore summer wildlife. Shelley Lawson is education coordinator at the refuge.
It has been officially decided that we would not have our salmon camp this summer, at least not in person with kids coming to camp. And this would have been our 25th year. We already had our crew selected. Everyone was really excited about it. So, you know, it's been tough to think about that, just the tradition and families that were hoping to come and kids that were hoping to come.
Lawson is still encouraging parents who were hoping to sign up their kids for salmon camp to do so. She said they'd like to send out some goodies or activities that would be campers do at their homes. At the library, Storytime is moving to the outdoors to keep visitors socially distanced. Annie Thomas is the youth librarian there.
We'll have story walks throughout the summer that will change, and families can come and enjoy a story that will be posted outside the building. And they walk along a path and find the next pages of each story as they're walking along. So it's a I just love the idea. It's a unique idea. It promotes reading in many different environments. The kids are still going to associate reading with the library.
The library is still putting on a summer reading program for children with creative ways to keep them socially distanced. Thomas said the program includes chalk art sessions at the library, scavenger hunts, and a seed kit to grow pollinator gardens at home. While we as a community are toughing out the COVID-19 pandemic, we are dealing with it in our own way. Every story and experience is sifted through our own personal filters. And while we may not realize it, we are living through a historic period on the planet and in Kodiak. As KMXT's Maggie Wall reports, Kodiak History Museum is capturing digital bits and pieces of Kodiak residents as they live day by day through the pandemic.
It's kind of like a digital scrapbook of this time here in Kodiak. And the Kodiak History Museum is inviting people to contribute their own or their family's entries. Margaret Greutert is the curator of collections at the museum. She says she was trying to think of how the museum could capture the stories of this historically significant period when she came upon the idea of collecting digital snippets of local life. She spoke by video conference about the museum's newest exhibit, a blog called Day by Day.
Well, it's really not my idea, but as soon as our museum closed because of the pandemic, I started looking at what other museums have been doing to try to document this historic time.
Right.
And so just in museums in general, we're looking for ways that we could collect information and objects around the coronavirus pandemic digitally, so that we're not spreading the germs by collecting physical things. And so we decided to start our day-by-day project, which is just us collecting digital files that help represent our experiences in Kodiak with COVID-19.
She explains how each note or digital file, such as a photo or a screen grab of a personal blog, contributes to Kodiak's story.
We're calling it day by day because as we receive all these digital files that help represent our experiences, we kind of get this day by day view of what it was like to live during this time. And so in 50 years and 100 years, people will be able to come and look at these digital files and get this cool day-by-day view of our lives during the pandemic.
History Museum Executive Director Sarah Harrington said she was struck by the importance of documenting this time while doing research on the last pandemic in Kodiak. The pandemic of 1918 took place before Kodiak had a daily newspaper to chronicle the effects of that disease on the community. Harrington said she was surprised at how little information is available on life in Kodiak during that time. She says she is determined to make sure the current epidemic is well documented.
So far, we've had a lot of great submissions, photographs, journal entries, screenshots from social media, government mandates, and it's been really interesting to see how it has all come together in a place that's going to be accessible to the public for many years to come.
Harrington said that every hunker down story is important, in part because every person's perspective is different. Each entry is a piece of the Kodiak pandemic story.
So far, we've had a lot of great submissions, photographs, journal entries, screenshots from social media, government mandates, and it's been really interesting to see how it has all come together in a place that's going to be accessible to the public for many years to come.
Margaret Greuter shares a few examples that might seem mundane, but that helped to capture just what it was like for residents living through this pandemic.
One is a woman showing her like growing in gray roots, like in her own home. One is a text message, a family text message conversation where, you know, a parent is deeply concerned about her child living far away from her. And so I think that by capturing these intimate moments, we can really see the diversity of what we're all experiencing as well.
The Day by Day Pandemic blog is located on the Kodiak History Museum's website. For information on how to submit items to be included in the blog exhibit, contact the museum by phone or email. For KMXT News, I'm Maggie Wall.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Alex Trokey. Salmon season is upon us. If salmon could talk, what would we say to them? And what would they say back? Right after these messages.
Grundins urges everyone to buy seafood directly from community-supported fisheries at localcatch.org. Your CSF purchases will help U.S. fishing towns thrive. Grundins, supporting fisheries around the world since 1926.
Over 30% of fishermen deaths in Alaska are from falling overboard. Life jackets save lives, and today's models fit right into your work gear. Learn more at amsi.org.
In 2019, Alaskan fishermen harvested almost 200 million Pacific salmon. The death of each fish contributes to the life of a fisherman and of a community. So I asked some fishermen, if salmon could talk, what would you like to say to them?
Gosh, what would I say to a salmon? I've always been pretty heartless towards salmon, as you know.
sorry you'll never spawn.
I would say, you're just a dollar bill with fins.
Thank you for what you're offering.
So I think you're one of God's most magnificent creatures. The arduous journey you have been on is worthy of respect. I'm deeply honored to be a part of your life cycle. Every time I slide my hand along your glistening scales or feel the power when you flick your strong tail, I am thankful.
While some fishermen had some nice things to say to the salmon, most that I spoke to weren't too optimistic that they would have such kind words for us.
Yeah, what would a salmon say to me? Salmon would be like, I'm really getting a bunch of Nemo like quotes going through my head right now. Like, swim down.
You just want me for my body.
I know a lot of people, like, even my brother has always thought that if salmon could talk, they'd just be screaming in the net. Help me! but I've never even paid any attention to that.
All jokes aside, The fishermen that I spoke to all had respect for the fish that we harvest, that we put on our table for food, or sell at the market to fund a life filled with adventure, which is best summed up by this fisherwoman here.
Before the season, I would like to tell salmon, my relatives, and we will always be here to protect you. And I look forward to us living in harmony with one another.
Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Homer, I'm Alex Troche.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
It's currently 46 degrees out at the airport with some light rain, fog, and mist, with humidity up at 89%, east wind of 17 miles an hour blowing, mile and a half of visibility. Rain in the forecast this afternoon, high near 50, east winds 15 miles an hour, chance of precipitation at 100%. Rain likely tonight before 7. It'll switch to scattered showers after that. Cloudy skies, a low around 44. Southeast winds 5, becoming calm in the evening with a chance of precipitation dropping to 60%. Tomorrow, scattered showers between 10 and 4, mostly cloudy with a high near 52. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour, only a 30% chance of precipitation. 18th of May it is today. 5:40, the sun came up, goes down at 10:35. Gives us 16 hours and 55 minutes of daylight time. 3 minutes and 53 seconds of daylight gain now. 69 was the record high in 2002, 30 in 2013, the record low. The synopsis for the North Gulf Coast and Kodiak Island waters issued at 3 o'clock this morning. 996 millibar low, 50 nautical miles southeast of Chignik, will move to 50 nautical miles west of King Salmon tomorrow morning, then move inland and dissipate Tuesday afternoon. High pressure will begin to build over the Gulf tomorrow night. West of the Barren Islands, including Kamishak Bay, small craft advisory through tonight. This afternoon, east winds increasing to 30 knots with 3-foot seas up to 8 feet this afternoon and rain. East 25 diminishing to 15 after midnight, 8-foot seas and rain. Tomorrow, variable 10, 2-foot seas. Small craft advisory tonight through Barren Islands east. East 20 increasing to 30 this afternoon, 6-foot seas up to 10 feet with rain. Tonight, southeast 30 becoming south 20 after midnight, 9-foot seas with rain. Tuesday, west 20, 7-foot seas. Marmon Island to Sitkanak, small craft advisory through tomorrow. Southeast winds 20, becoming southwest 25 this afternoon with 7-foot seas and rain. Southwest 25, 9-foot seas tonight. Southwest 25, 9-foot seas tomorrow. Chiniak Bay this afternoon, east 15, 4-foot seas, rain. South 10, 3-foot seas tonight. West 10, 2-foot seas tomorrow. Marmot Bay, east 20, 7-foot seas and rain this afternoon. East 10, becoming variable less than 10 with 3-foot seas tonight. West 15, 2-foot seas tomorrow. Small craft advisory for the Shelikof Strait today. Northeast winds of 15, increasing to 25 later today or by now, with 3-foot seas up to 7 feet this afternoon and rain. Southeast 20, 4-foot seas with rain tonight. West 20, 4-foot seas tomorrow. Kodiak District tides, we have a high tide coming up here in about, it's now, happens now, 12:27, 6.28 feet. Evening low tides at 6:17, 1.4 feet. The Uganic tides at 12:59 this afternoon here, coming up in about half an hour. It's about an 11.5 footer, and the evening low tides at 7 o'clock, about 2.5 feet. Some announcements. There is a school board meeting tonight, a Board of Education regular meeting beginning at 6:30. The meeting will be conducted virtually through BlueJeans. Meeting login information is posted on the Kodiak Island Borough School District website, kibsd.org, under the Board of Education tab. Meeting agenda and packets for the meeting can be viewed on Board Docs. More information, call Bianca, the Secretary to the Board of Education, 486-7566. Agendas are subject to change, so check that out. And we will be broadcasting that meeting live here at when it starts at 6:30. Kodiak Public Library offers curbside delivery to deliver books and DVDs. Place items on hold through the library's website or call the library to request items you'd like to borrow. Every Wednesday, the library offers a video children's story time on the library's Facebook page or YouTube channel. This week, Miss Ani will be reading chicken stories. Bingo is available on the website and on the Facebook page. If you'd like to enter, share photos on Facebook, email them to lmadsen@city.kodiak.ak.us. And next Monday, as most of us will be, closed for Memorial Day. Curbside service next week will resume on Tuesday. Coming up, what's today, the 18th? So on Wednesday, artifact observations at the Kodiak History Museum. Grab your notebooks and journals and explore a new museum object biweekly on their Facebook page. And this is one of those weeks. It's at noon. They also have community sit at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Add a moment of mindfulness to your evening routine on Wednesdays. Join them via Zoom on their Facebook events page. And then watch out for people on the road. Brecken's doing their highway project from the airport to Chiniac Highway. Watch for flaggers and pilot vehicles as the project progresses. Just if you're in the neighborhood, be aware.